Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Giddy Aunt Comedy.
Welcome back to my basement for another roundup of the week's news. And what a rollercoaster of a week it's been. Naturally, we'll be discussing England's performance in the Euros, as well as my plans to kill you all with COVID. But I may also mention that lovely holiday I had on Mustique and the latest benefits of Brexit. The nation is in mourning this week after England lost on penalties in the final of the Euros. I know I should be disappointed, but to be honest, I'm just relieved that I don't have to pretend I give a shit about football anymore. My only real regret about losing was that I didn't get to celebrate our victory by making Gavin Williams stick a flare up his arse. I'd really been looking forward to that. One of the best things about the Euros final was that it wasn't seen by Tory MP Lee Anderson, who had refused to watch any of the England team's matches in protest at them taking the knee. When he started his silly protest, he was no doubt expecting England to be knocked out early in the tournament as a result of them being such a bunch of lefty pansies, but by the time they reached the final, Lee had boxed himself into an ideological corner that he couldn't back out of. But at least he stuck to his principles. Unlike myself, I have to say. You may recall that I also condemned the team for taking the knee, saying that I didn't believe in gestures, but I'm not one to watch a bandwagon rolling past and not jump on it. As soon as it became clear that England were doing well and that everyone was behind them, I became the most ardent fan in the country. I'm a man of very strong principles, but I'm happy to swap them for completely different principles if it helps my popularity with voters. After all, I'm used to taking on footballers and then having to do embarrassing U-turns. Like the two times I refused to give vulnerable children free school meals and was then forced into changing my mind by Marcus Rashford. So every time there's a match, I've been putting out carefully staged photographs of me just like another ordinary English bloke watching the game, like in the quarterfinals where I apparently watched the game while perched on the end of a table, or the semi-finals where I was seen at Wembley wearing an England shirt over my shirt and tie. And Priti Patel was quick to climb aboard my bandwagon too. She said fans had a right to boo the team for taking the knee and that she didn't believe in gesture politics. But then she tweeted out a photo of herself during the semi-finals also wearing an England shirt and cheering with passion. I've never seen her look so excited before. So I spoke to one of her team about the photograph. He said that the photo shoot hadn't been going well because she didn't look convincing. So they told her that some asylum seekers had drowned while crossing the channel and brought out the joy and passion they were looking for. Of course, it would have been fantastic if England had won, because I would have then had the perfect opportunity to shamelessly associate myself with that success. A few well-planned photo calls, and everyone would have forgotten that I had no interest in football and was happy for people to boo the team. I've seen what can be achieved with a hard hat or a white coat and a microscope, so just think what I could have done with a team that won the Euros. Sadly, it was not to be. And there followed a grotesque avalanche of racist abuse for the players who missed their penalties. I was quick to condemn these comments in a tweet, as was Priti Patel, but these in turn generated a torrent of accusations of hypocrisy, with many people saying that my comments meant nothing because I myself was a racist. Well, preposterous idea. Just because I wouldn't condemn the booing of taking the knee, that doesn't make me a racist. No. Calling Muslim women letterboxes and describing black people as picking the knees with watermelon smiles, that's what makes me a racist. Anyway, it's much better for me to call out the racists because they are far more likely to listen to someone they respect, such as a fellow racist. There's been a lot of praise for Gareth Southgate's leadership during the Euros. Unfortunately, this has brought with it some unfavourable comparisons of my own leadership. For example, here's Gary Neville talking about the difference in leadership between myself and Gareth Southgate.
Yeah, Gary, a lot of people saying in this tournament that a lot of political figures could take a leaf out of Gareth Southgate's book when it comes to leadership. And as you mentioned there, his stand on diversity and inclusion. Do you think the Prime Minister needs to take a look at Gareth Southgate and do more in this area?
He said Muslim women look like letterboxes. I think he does, yeah, do you not? Should we not be highlighting this more often? I mean, honestly, Gareth Southgate and Boris Johnson, they're actually poles apart.
Well, I must say, I think that's a little unfair. I've gone out of my way to create a diverse and inclusive cabinet. I mean, look at Priti Patel. Have you any idea how difficult it was to find a woman of colour with the views of a white supremacist? Finding a child of immigrants who would happily deport her own parents isn't an easy thing to do. It's like trying to find a Tory who isn't a twat. Pretty much impossible. And what about Gavin Williamson and Liz Truss? I mean, I don't think there are many leaders who would be inclusive enough to give senior posts to people who are so severely intellectually challenged. Or Jacob Rees-Mogg, who requires round-the-clock care from his nanny just to remain alive. Sweet Caroline, good time
never seemed so good.
The Committee on Standards produced a report this week following their investigation into how my luxury £15,000 holiday on Mustique in 2019 was paid for. You may recall that the Standards Commissioner had previously said that I broke the rules on this, so there was a relief to hear that this report overruled her and said that my account was accurate and complete. Although it did describe my explanation of how it was paid for as unsatisfactory, they said I hadn't explained it properly and that I had acted in an ad hoc and informal way. Well, of course I did. Ad hoc is Latin, so as a classic scholar, I'm naturally a big fan. For some reason, people seem to expect their leaders to be well-organised, rational, and on top of the detail. Well, I'm sorry, but that's just not how I roll. I'm not a detailed person. Chaos is my middle name. You don't get given the nickname of the trolley by your colleagues for nothing, you know. You have to earn it. And you do that by wildly careering from one thing to another in a totally disorganised, reactive, and irrational way. So the committee found that it wasn't so much that I had actually broken the rules, as that I didn't even bother trying to comply with them, because I thought they didn't apply to me. I can quite happily watch my flat being transformed around me or find myself in a luxury villa on a Caribbean island without worrying my pretty little head about where the money came from to pay for it. The truth is, I don't much care who pays for all my living expenses as long as it isn't me.
Hello, it's me, real-life Victorian and human stick insect, Jacob Rees-Mogg. I wanted to take a moment to tell you about Patreon. It's very similar to being a Tory donor. For example, if you donate 5 million quid to the Conservative Party, you get a seat in the House of Lords and a go on Jennifer Acuri. Excellent value for money. Patreon is a way of supporting independent podcasts, such as this one, for as little as £3 a month. You can get bonus bits, exclusive content, episode shout-outs, early access, and much more. If this tickles your pickle, simply Google Parody Boris Johnson Patreon, or click the link in the show notes of the episode. And a particularly big thank you to our two flagshagger patrons, John Platt and Jason Pritchard. So be a good Tory donor and support this podcast, or I'll send my nanny round to whip you. Ta-ta for now.
Deliberate untruths used as a political tactic should be punishable as a crime.
Can you make a promise today to the British public that you will not go back to Brussels and ask for another delay to Brexit?
Yes.
And, sorry.
I can.
And would you
I'd rather be dead in a ditch.
Did you lie to the Queen when you advised her to prorogue to suspend Parliament?
Absolutely not.
How come you're prepared to comment on other people's children when you won't talk about your own?
Well, actually, I don't comment on other people's children.
I've got to read it again to you. Are you serious? The children are ill-raised, ignorant, aggressive and illegitimate.
There will not be checks. There will not be checks. I speak as the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and a passionate unionist. There will not be checks on goods going from Northern Ireland to Great Britain. Because we're the government of the United Kingdom and we will not institute or implement or enact such checks.
This advertisement was brought to you by TorySleazeUK.com. Follow at TorySleazeUK.
As we are hurtled recklessly towards the 19th of July, with our infection rates still soaring and all set to rise ever higher, the head of the UK Health Security Agency, Jenny Harris, has come up with a brilliant way to get the infection rate down. The number of people being told to self-isolate by the NHS app has hit a record high. So we have a master plan for how to bring those numbers down. Just change the settings on the app so that it doesn't send as many alerts. In other words, stop the app doing what it's supposed to do by setting it so that you have to be licking someone's tonsils for an hour or more before it pings. Which is a bit like taking the batteries out of a smoke alarm to avoid being woken up. This way, fewer people will know they've been in contact with someone with COVID, so they won't self-isolate. So they'll keep spreading it to other people who also won't know they've been in contact with someone with COVID, so they won't self-isolate, so they keep spreading it out and so on and so on. This strategy fits in perfectly with our new policy of tackling the pandemic by putting our fingers in our ears and saying la 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 la. Most importantly, it kills two birds with one stone. Not only does the virus continue to spread exponentially, thus helping our herd immunity policy, but the statistics will suggest the number of cases is coming down because we aren't recording all the new infections. Win-win! This will prove particularly effective when combined with our proposals to start charging for tests. The best way to reduce the number of people testing positive for coronavirus is to do fewer tests. You may recall Donald Trump did the same thing about a year ago, and we all had a jolly good laugh at him. In fact, I thought it was so funny that I've made it the cornerstone of our pandemic strategy. I do miss the wise counsel of my friend Donald Trump. I don't know how America manages without him. So there you have it, our new policy for dealing with the pandemic is to stop trying to control the disease and control the statistics instead.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Robbie Gibb was in the news this week. No, he's not a former member of the Bee Gees. He's Theresa May's former communications director and helped to set up GB News. As part of our push to get right-wing tossers into public institutions, he joined the board of the BBC in May. We know that he's taking his role seriously and already earning his keep because he tried to block the appointment of a senior news editor who turned out not to be a Tory arse flicker. When he heard that the former HuffPost editor, Jess Brammer, would be appointed to a role in the BBC News team, he sent a text saying, "You cannot make this appointment." Which is as it should be, of course, but it does rather give the game away that every BBC appointment now has to be approved by a Tory on the board. We don't want anyone sneaking through who might not toe the party line, lap up our propaganda, and give us all an easy ride. Robbie Gibb is under pressure to resign for interfering in executive appointments, so hopefully he'll follow the example of my government by just ignoring the criticism and carrying on as before. But I'm nothing if not fair, so I'd be quite happy for the matter to be referred to the chair of the BBC, Richard Sharp. He should be well placed to make a fair and objective decision, being a former advisor to myself, as well as a Tory donor and Rishi Sunak's old boss. And if he's in any doubt, he can always consult with the BBC Director General Tim Davey, who used to be the chairman of his local Conservative Party, so I'm sure they can sort this matter out between them to our satisfaction. Now, you may wonder how people like Gibb managed to worm their way into such inappropriate positions in the first place. Well, in this case, he was appointed to the board after intense lobbying from one of my number 10 advisors, Dougie Smith. As a backroom boy, you may not have heard of Dougie, but he's very well qualified for his role as a government strategist. Before going into politics, he ran a business called Fever Parties, which used to organise orgies for rich people. So it was only a short step from helping rich idiots to screw each other to helping rich idiots to screw the country. With all the excitement of the Euros and our plan to infect the whole country with coronavirus, it's important that we don't forget about Brexit. There was a story this week about officials at the Department for Transport having emergency talks with the road haulage industry about the shortage of HGV drivers. Apparently, we are short of about 100,000 truck drivers, which will potentially lead to fruit and vegetables being left to rot in the fields and a shortage of fresh food in our supermarkets. The main problem seems to be drivers from the EU going home and not returning to work here. Which is all very strange and difficult to understand. I mean, why would people be reluctant to work here when we've spent the last 5 years telling them to fuck off back to where they came from? Just one of life's mysteries, I suppose. But never fear, because Grant Shapps has come riding to the rescue with a plan to change the rules so that truckers can drive for longer hours. Now, this is where Brexit really comes into its own. If we were still in the EU, we wouldn't be allowed to remove safety rules. Now, thousands of exhausted lorry drivers getting sleepy at the wheel and endangering the lives of themselves and other road users. So the next time some Ramona asks you to name a single benefit of Brexit, you know what to say. So that's it for another week. Don't forget that we have an episode of Plebs PMQs every Monday, so look out for that. I will be in the House of Commons with the Speaker, Lindsay Hoyle, taking whatever questions you choose to throw at me. If you want to ask a question, just reply to my request on Twitter every Monday or use the hashtag Plebs PMQs at any time. Remember that you have the exciting opportunity to actually be part of this podcast by asking your questions via SpeakPipe. You simply record your question in your own voice and you might hear yourself in the next podcast. Right! Just one more important announcement. This is a thank you to our fantastic millionaire cronies on Patreon. So let's hear it for Andrew Smith, Nicholas Fisher, Simon Jenkins, Andrew Woodall, Zoe Smith, Jonathan Williams, Simon Roberts, Alison McQueath, Banch, Jackson, Louise Dora, and Milton Yates. And if you're listening on Apple, we would really appreciate it if you could spare a few moments to rate this podcast and write a brief review. You can catch up on past episodes of the podcast and all the previous Plebs PMQs wherever you are listening to this. Thank you for listening, and until next time, goodbye.